What would happen if we had the audacity, the courage, the boldness, and the presence to lean into our edges and to grow from our core? See, in a world shaped by yesterday's leaning into tomorrow's, we find ourselves weaving possibilities in an endless constellation of opportunities. The world has shifted, and now we find ourselves in a space-time continuum where lifestyle, business, and consciousness share the same offer space as your purpose and your brand. Welcome to the Supernova Podcast. I'm your hostess, Lena Ski. This is a never-ending chronicle, a narrative really, designed to usher in those big bang shebangs and a whole lot more glimmer. Let's get astronomical. Let's really shift the needle into flow.
So you say you want to be innovative. You want to be working in a creative environment that allows you to stay open-minded, open-hearted, curious about the future, really inspired, really able to just go out there and, I don't know, create. But you notice your environment doesn't really handle anxiety too well. You end up having to squander a lot of other problems or buts and shoulds and things, and you're not able to stay with the creative process because there's this other culture of fear and stuckness and being left behind and just totally disencouraged. Something that feels incredibly overwhelmed, and it's actually counterintuitive to innovation and creativity. Well, if you understand the nature of creativity and innovation, you know that there's going to be a level of discomfort there. There's going to be a level of destruction there. There's going to be a level of ambiguity and uncertainty there. It's part of the nature of creativity. But if you don't allow yourself to design for all the elements of what you are creating, you end up designing against yourself. This is why emotional culture is so important. My very first paying gig, I was a waitress and I worked at a pizza shop. I don't know, at that particular point in time, that's what I really wanted to do. I was like, I don't want to work in a coffee shop because it didn't feel inspiring enough. I loved pizza. I thought I was going to get a lot of pizza out of the deal and who knows what, but I just really loved the environment of this particular pizza place. So I went along, learned the menu, did all the things that you need to do, got the gig, and went into my next level of training. The scariest thing then happened. I got the training manual. Now, this is the training manual, which made me think that this is the way the company runs, the franchise runs nationally, maybe even internationally, because who was I to know how big this brand was at the time? What the training manual taught me is this. I will be spot checked. Okay, I get it. But I will actually be phoned up and complained at. It won't even be an order gone wrong. I'm just going to get irate phone calls. I didn't quite understand. I actually am going to get problem customers. There'll be people coming into the shop, into this restaurant, or phoning in. And I'm going to have to deal with unknown people. It could be a granny, it could be a kid, it could be a mom with a child. I'll never really know who the inspector is that's coming in. That didn't leave me feeling so great about things. The other thing that I discovered in this training manual is tittletaling is really a great way of the top organization knowing what's happening in the organization. There was talk of webcams being sort of monitoring, watching us, all those kinds of things, which was also just a little bit unnerving at the time. This was way before Big Brother. But the fact that if somebody else complained about my behavior, that I was prioritizing X over Z, that I was being too helpful but neglecting this, that I was jumping here but not doing that, that I wasn't putting enough sprinkles on a pizza, or whatever that is that was going along, that I didn't have a smile on my face when I looked up at that particular moment. If somebody wanted to be out to get me, they would actually be rewarded for it. They would not need to bring proof. They would not need to bring any sort of validation. They could just rat me out and they would be rewarded. In fact, the more rewards they got, the bigger the chance that they'd get promoted up the ranks of the hierarchy, moving up the ladder to maybe not manager, but someplace higher up where they wouldn't have to be doing the menial, boring, horrible jobs. So, basically, they wanted us to backstab each other with a smile on our face. That was the training manual. What does that tell you about the culture? I mean, the walls were really bright and cheerful. We always wore a smile. Maybe not always, but we were taught to wear a smile. The uniforms were impeccable. We were always looking well-groomed. There was good music playing. The food was good. From the outside, if you had no idea, you wouldn't know what was going on. I used to dread the drive through to work. There was a particular patch of the road I remember, like, from that particular point in time, every single time I had my shift, I would develop headaches, migraines. I didn't even know what a migraine was until then. My body didn't even know what a migraine was until then. I'd get just start feeling sick and nauseous, and I would only feel any sort of release and relief when I left the environment. I already had a bit of a coaching hat happening, even though I wasn't trained as a coach. So obviously I wanted to be helping everybody else with their problems, which meant I was taking on extra workload, which made me then a target for dropping any more balls, which could be turned against me. I don't think I got reprimanded, or I don't think I got tittletailed on, but I watched incessantly how vindictive people were, how evidence was planted, how stories were made up, how there was just a culture of loathing. This great environment, award-winning environment, left me feeling afraid, intimidated, controlled, uncomfortable, anxious, hesitant, uncertain, incapable, because always second-guessing if I'm doing the right thing, even paralyzed. I dreaded the customer, the people we were supposed to serve. I dreaded the phone call. I dreaded my colleagues. I didn't know what to do with myself. And okay, I was still incredibly young. I was still in high school at the time, so I had very little skills to draw from at that particular point in time. But the thing is, there's a lot of companies out there that do that. Maybe not putting it into their training manual. I mean, that was just, I wonder if it's still in there. I don't even know if this still exists, to be honest. But there's a subtext. There are actually feelings in the room. I'm not talking about the water cooler anymore, guys. I'm talking about the real design of what you're doing. Like, you want to have an innovative company with innovative products, but if you cannot handle anxiety and steering into the unknown and not having the answers and being willingness to not be efficient and effective and continuously follow protocol, then how on earth are you going to be innovative? If you don't know what emotions are in the room, you don't know what the subtext of your emotional culture, which then becomes your brand culture, which then becomes your team dynamic, which then becomes your subtext operation strategy. Not what's in the training manual, but how, what coping mechanisms get put in place to deal with the VUCA-ness of it all, or the backstabbing, or the toxicity, or the dysfunctionality, or the compliance of it all. Because we get conditioned that even these are well-oiled machines and the work gets done, that we cannot move into places, that we don't actually have the emotional intelligence to use certain emotions to play the highest possible infinite game. It's scary to think that there are environments that can leave us paralyzed, restless, alone, disheartened, confused, doubtful, stuck, rebellious in not the best ways, incredibly reactive, unwelcome, insecure, embarrassed, diminished. The list goes on. Let's take another example. You value being open-hearted, or open-minded. Let's go with open-minded. But you don't like feeling embarrassed. You don't like feeling insecure. You don't like feeling like you have to guard your position the whole time. You don't like being on the defense. How easy is it for you to feel open-minded? Especially if those things get triggered in the environment that you're working in, because it's the subtext of the game, because maybe there's a, you want to be open-minded, but the environment you're living in is protocol-driven and things just get done in a certain kind of way. So actually, the very thing that you're designing your business around or valuing isn't actually welcome and allowed. And this isn't just at an individual layer. I mean, it's incredibly important at an individual layer. And of course, at an individual layer, you're going to get conflicting emotions everywhere. But knowing how to create symbiosis, there's something to that. There's some value there, right? You might not make everybody happy, true. But you may be able to design for something greater. You may be able to leverage things in the most powerful way. You may be able to reframe anxiety or alchemize it from something that's incredibly stressful to something that's incredibly beneficial, like that creative tension you need to be able to move through and have the audacity to create. Because if you're not feeling inspired, if you're not feeling challenged, if you're not feeling compelled, if there isn't a bit of an in the game, and if there isn't a structure being held to create something within a certain framework, even if you're being out the box on things, then you're just going to be, in South Africa we call it pup. You're just going to be bland. You're just going to be like blob, basically. We need certain emotions in the workplace. We need a lot more than you think. Feelings aren't just what happens around the water cooler. Feelings aren't just that annoying coworker or team player or client who's incessant on telling you drama upon drama upon drama. I'm not even talking about playing in the drama triangle. Don't go there. That's a whole other conversation for a whole other time. I'm talking about what's really in the room. What are you really working with when you're designing your brand culture? Not what you make up, package, conveniently color over, paint walls around, floor plan this way, floor plan that way. Integrity is kind of a thing these days. It's the new authentic, I hope, at some point. Not to replace authentic, of course. Though I think integrity has truth and authenticity built in, so in my little definition of it, it's even a higher bar. What are you actually playing with? What's actually in your room? What's actually the parameter that's designing your operation strategy and telling you how business is done? Because you may be the CEO, you may be the team leader, you may be the manager in charge, you may be that exemplary entrepreneur who's pioneering it on your own. But if you don't take stock of the culture, you're not really seeing the iceberg for what it is. And we all know what happened to Titanic.
So there you have it. There's no more room at the edge of maybe. Maybes have been taken up and scrapped off the list. Because We're not just in business to create products or services. You're in business to create openings, shape connections, and establish engagement. And this is your exact chance to find your opening, to take a step in, to get bold, to get daring, and to have that presence to follow your bliss, to follow that uniqueness that you bring into the world and let the world know, to step into the new class of emerging and share your genius. This has been Lena Ski for the Supernova Podcast. If you enjoyed this conversation or you want to find out more, head on over to my personal site, which is lenaski.com. Or if you're ready to get a little bit more moonshot, if you're ready to get a whole lot more magnetic, exponential, evolutionary, and intuitively design the business, the products, the services, and the talents that you're here to deliver to this world, you're gonna love theglobalmovementsummit.com. See you there.